Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking to the author Anne Armbrecht about her new book, Thin Places, A Pilgrimage Home. Right now, I would like to welcome Nathan Newcomer. He's Associate Director of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, and Dave Ehrman, who is the Community Partnership Associate. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have you. Now, Nathan, we haven't had you on for quite a while, but you are a regular guest on this program talking about the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance. The occasion for our conversation today is this event that's coming up this weekend. It's a free event on Saturday, the 21st of March, from 1 to 5 at the National Park Service Trails Building here in Santa Fe. What's happening there?
Well, first of all, it's great to be back on the show, so thank you so much for having us. I'd like to turn that over to David, since he's the one who's been organizing this great event to the public to get them engaged in our wilderness campaigns across the state.
Well, the purpose of this conference is to talk about our major wilderness proposals. And those wilderness proposals total 750,000 acres of federal land that would be protected as either wilderness or conservation area. So it's a lot of land, and the people in Santa Fe are fantastic about mobilizing behind these issues. They write letters, and that's one of the things that we're going to be doing this coming Saturday. During this conference, we're going to have tables set up in the back of the room. People can stand up anytime, go to the back of the room, write a letter to our senators and our congresspeople, and urging them to take action this year on wilderness proposals.
Now, this is a good year for wilderness types of issues because, A, we have a Democratic administration in the White House, we have a Democratic Congress, and it's not an election year.
Thank God. That's finally behind us. We can hopefully get some stuff done. Yeah, we are in a unique position, I think, right now. We have Tom Udall, who's now our new senator. He comes from a long-standing tradition of conservation in his family. Stuart Udall, his father, was the former Secretary of the Department of Interior, who helped push through a lot of important pieces of legislation, including national parks, the Grand Canyon, many places in California. And, you know, he's from New Mexico, so he gets the concept and the idea of wilderness, which is an idea that began right in our state with Aldo Leopold back in the early 1900s. You know, the idea of wilderness is that man only has a small footprint on the landscape, and the land is left for the land's sake, for future generations into perpetuity. And in essence, you know, the idea of wilderness represents the true form of freedom. You know, the ability to go backpacking in the Pecos wilderness on, you know, a 7-day trip if you'd feel like, or to go riding a horse, or to go hunting, or just to spend time in solitude, that represents the true idea of freedom. And so New Mexico has a really long-standing tradition in terms of protecting public land as wilderness, and the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance is here to continue that tradition of preserving more of our wildest places.
Now, land for the sake of land is a concept that not everybody signs up for, and philosophically, it's a very deep idea.
No, absolutely, absolutely. But I think that, you know, again, here in New Mexico, we are called the Land of Enchantment for a reason. You know, the Gila Wilderness was the first wilderness ever designated in the entire country. We have White Sands National Monument, which is the largest gypsum sand dune deposit in the world. We have
with
Otero.
The most amount of little radioactive rocks underneath it.
Yeah, well, we won't get into that discussion. But, you know, we also have places like Otero Mesa, which is the largest and wildest Chihuahuan desert grassland left on public lands in the entire North American continent. Carlsbad Caverns, you know, the Doniana County campaign that we're working on, and up north the El Rio Grande del Norte campaign. So I think that even though not a lot of people prescribe to the idea of protecting land for land's sake, this state has a long-standing tradition of protecting land and recognizing the value of wilderness to our future quality of life. Because without wilderness and wild places in New Mexico, we wouldn't be called the Land of Enchantment. And people would not be moving to New Mexico and retiring in New Mexico if we didn't have wide open spaces. And that's what we do have. But unfortunately, we are second to last in the amount of protected land in the West as wilderness. even though the idea of wilderness began in New Mexico. So we do have our work cut out for us, but we feel pretty good about the coming years with this new congressional delegation in terms of protecting some more of these places.
Now, there's plenty of public land which is protected in some ways, but it's not designated as wilderness.
Correct. For instance, the Chaco Canyon campaign that we're working on is a national historical park, but it's not a wilderness area. Now, the difference is that in a national park, you can have roads, you can have development. You can actually, a couple years ago, there was a proposal in Congress to allow billboards to be put up in national parks. So you go to Chaco Canyon and see Coca-Cola, you know, advertised right above your parking space. So in wilderness areas, you can't have things of that nature.
Right.
Again, you're protecting land for land's sake for future generations to leave it as is, because land does deserve to be protected that way.
And you're also protecting people's minds for just a moment from that kind of onslaught of commerce.
Yeah, you're constantly bombarded every single day. I think the number is probably up to 5,000 advertisements per day that we see. Literally, I mean, we have Coca-Cola glasses right in front of us with water in it. And you know, anywhere
that's true.
You
every
look,
time you go on Facebook.
Exactly.
Or,
you know, on the internet, you just are bombarded with everything. So, yeah, getting away into wilderness areas gives you a chance to kind of reconnect with land, reconnect with nature, to where you came from, and, you know, get back to a sense of place.
So let's talk about some of the actual campaigns that are going on. Just to be clear, during this, we've been immersed in the New Mexico legislative session. What you do is largely not on a state level, but on a federal level.
Correct. Wilderness is a federal designation through Congress that has to be signed by the President of the United States. We do engage in some statewide activities. With the Roundhouse session that's been going on, we've been working with Senator D.D. Feldman and Senator Phil Griego and Representative Jeanette Wallace on Senate Bill 379, which would seek to rein in irresponsible off-road vehicle abuse and all the problems that are associated with that on our national forest lands. And David's actually been quite heavily involved with that bill, and maybe would like to elaborate on some of the great work he's been doing.
Well, there's a fabulous coalition of groups that are working with us, and individual citizens who aren't even part of groups, who are just really, really fed up with ATVs tearing around their private land and also destroying public land. So therefore, last year in 2008, a number of groups got together and said, we really need to have some legislation eventually that controls ATV use on public land. And that bill that Nathan just referred to is getting closer and closer to its final run through the New Mexico Senate, and then it goes on to the governor for signature.
It's I suppose, on some level a tricky issue, because I've never been on one of those things, but the people who are on them look like they're having a whole lot of fun.
They're having a whole lot of fun. We have examples of some really hideous damage to public land.
What does that look like?
It looks like deep, deep tire tracks with knobby tires, big ATVs roaring through the national forest, federal land. And the land is so fragile in those areas that it will take decades to recover.
Is that right?
There's essentially no
enforcement. What does
it
actually do? I mean, is it erosion?
It's erosion. It's pollution that's caused by ATVs roaring through streams. It scares the wildlife. It has a real effect on the wildlife. That's been proven.
Yeah. It's also fragmentation issues. Off-road vehicles, inherently, they want to go off-trail, because it's an off-road vehicle. They want to, if there's a route that's designated for them, they want to go off and have their fun, right? Do something interesting, like climb over a big boulder or go into a meadow that they weren't supposed to be going into. And so what we're seeing is ATVs, off-road vehicles, dirt bikes, motorized dirt bikes, that are poaching into wilderness areas where they are not allowed. In fact, we have pictures from last summer of a group of about a dozen dirt bikers who are inside the Pecos Wilderness.
Oh, boy.
Which is, you know, completely illegal and should not be happening. Some guys that were on some horseback took a picture of them with their cell phone and sent it to us, and we published it in our newsletter. And then, you know, that just really shows the extent of what these people are doing, going into wilderness areas and tearing up the land.
So what would the bill do?
The bill would bring some more enforcement to the table, which is really important. Enforcement is the key issue on ATVs. So the bill does the following. It moves the Off-Highway Vehicle Board from the Department of Tourism to the Department of Game and Fish. Why? Because Game and Fish has rangers out there. They have enforcement people out there. Not a lot, but it's a natural fit. The Department of Tourism is supposed to promote tourism.
Right.
And
so there's a conflict of interest because there are tourists with these vehicles who show up.
Exactly. And the OHV board will be pared down in size from 25 to approximately 7 to make it a really workable board. There's also state money that comes with that board that can be used for education and enforcement. It's the first time the state has really had access to that kind of money. That's important.
So where is the bill at now?
It's probably about 2 days away from the governor's signature.
We are talking to the good folks from the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance. Let's talk about some of the campaigns that are happening on a federal level. There are proposals for, what, 4 different areas that would become a national wilderness in the state of New Mexico?
Correct.
And let's see, Sabinoso Wilderness, where's that?
The Sabinoso Wilderness is a part of the, well, first of all, let's give people a little bit of an orientation on where we're talking about. Sabinoso is a wilderness study area that's about 40 miles east of the town of Las Vegas. It represents one of the last great intact Great Plains ecosystems left in the state of New Mexico. So if it is designated, it will be the only wilderness on the eastern plains of the state of New Mexico, which is pretty quite remarkable to begin with. Congressman Udall introduced the bill in the House of Representatives several years ago. Had a lot of bipartisan support. The San Miguel County Commission supported it. Las Vegas Economic Development supported it. Ranchers supported it. City councilors and mayors in the area supported the protection of Sabinoso.
So what, Satan came and...
No, what happened? Well, we lacked the leadership, the political leadership at the time in the Senate. But now that Tom Udall is now our senator, he's looking to push this legislation through. So the bill, the Sabinoso bill, was added to the Omnibus Lands Bill package, which has been going on for quite some time. The Omnibus Lands Bill package is a consortium of about 160 bills across the entire West, many of which have been debated for the past 3 to 5 years. Of those bills, Sabinoso is included. There's also some designations of some national monuments down south, the Paleozoic Trackways, which is the oldest fossilized footprints of dinosaurs in the world, I believe,
wow,
outside of Las Cruces. And there's also money in there to study the Salt Basin Aquifer underneath Otero Mesa. Now, the bill passed the Senate earlier this year in January. It went to the House, and it failed in the House by 2 votes. So the bill went back to the Senate. My understanding is that they started debating the bill today, and it's probably going to pass back to the Senate, get back sent to the House next week probably, and there's a pretty good chance it's going to pass.
What, with minor amendments or something?
Yeah, some very minor amendments.
So that's the Sabinoso Wilderness. The another one is the Rio Grande del Norte National Conservation Area.
Yeah, the Rio Grande del Norte is an area of about 300,000 acres. It's in Taos County. It's just near Cuesta, the town of Cuesta, which is just outside of Taos. Predominantly, we're talking about a national conservation area. There will be 2 wilderness areas, Ute Mountain and San Antonio Mountain, will be designated as wilderness. The rest of the plains that extend down south from the Colorado border and to the Rio Grande Gorge will be designated as a national conservation area. Now, what that means is that, you know, wilderness prevents development, logging, mining, oil and gas drilling, things of those natures. But a national conservation area, you can kind of draft the language to make it more usable with people, traditional people that live in the area, like ranchers or like land grant people or acequias, if they need to go and gather firewood or continue to do some grazing, or they need access on a certain road to get to a stock tank, a national conservation area, the language can be written to reflect those needs within the community. And so we felt that was the best way in terms of protecting the natural resources but enabling the traditional uses to continue.
So traditional uses are something that can be an area of conflict when you designate an area national park, national wilderness. We're actually going to be talking about a different aspect of that involving Nepal in the second part of this show.
Right. Well, I think it's important for us to say that the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, it's built into our name. We build alliances. We are about building community because I don't care what your agenda is. If you just go into an area and you say, this is what we're going to do, we're going to throw it down your throat, and nobody's with you, you're going to have a lot of problems. And I think you're going to have a lot of problems at the federal level in terms of trying to get bills passed through Congress. And that's what's important. So it's not, we're not talking about, you know, compromising our values of protecting the land. We're talking about working with people and finding common ground. Like with Otero Mesa, we worked with ranchers and hunters. We don't agree with them all the time, but we agreed that we need to protect Otero Mesa, its wildlife, wilderness, and water resources. And so we've been able to be successful in that campaign because we bring those tools to the table. The same thing applies up with the El Rio Grande del Norte campaign, working with land grants, building those relationships, helping them clean out their acequias every spring so that they can get their water into their communities so they can grow their crops.
So the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance actually shows up and helps them clean out their acequias?
Absolutely. In this year's Wild Guide, or 2009 Wild Guide, we have volunteer service projects that we do across the state. They vary from what their purpose is, but some of those projects include doing projects up in Moore Valley, up in Chacon. There's actually a project up at Rio Chama where we are helping acequias clean out their ditches so that they can get their water into their communities. And so, you know, that's just a part of building community and building trust and building relationships with people who care about the land, because that's what it comes down to. We care about protecting land. They care about the land because they need it for their survival. And so then we were able to work together on issues like protecting, you know, the Ute Mountain, San Antonio Mountain, and the Rio Grande Gorge up there in Taos County.
And I think the larger issue, not to be forgotten, is that we all need the land for our survival.
Absolutely.
And sooner or later, if you develop every inch of land, then none of it is available for your survival.
Spoken like a true prophet.
Prophet. We're talking to the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, voices of the prophets themselves. Doña Ana County.
Doña Ana County, for our listeners, obviously Las Cruces is the largest city within Doña Ana County. It also includes Mesilla, Hatch, where our wonderful green chili comes from. Doña Ana County has about 400,000 acres of public land that is suitable for wilderness designation. That is an enormous amount of public land that's eligible for wilderness.
And what is it now?
It's all of it. Actually, most of it, the land that we're talking about, that we're looking to protect, is a wilderness or wilderness study areas. Wilderness study areas were set up through Congress. Congress told the Bureau of Land Management, the Forest Service, to inventory their respective lands and see which lands qualified for wilderness designation. This happened in the 70s and the early 80s. And then these agencies came back and recommended areas to be protected as wilderness after going through public comment and different processes. So you have these wilderness study areas that the agencies have recommended. But it's up to Congress to actually pass legislation to fully designate them as wilderness. So that's where the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance comes in. We look at these wilderness study areas in Doña Ana County. We've actually done a re-inventory of the land out there, found that there's additional land that can be included. So our proposal is larger than what the Bureau of Land Management was initially proposing, and it totals about 400,000 acres of wilderness and a national conservation area that would surround the Oregon Mountains, which are just right outside of Las Cruces, kind of the quintessential backdrop to the city.
When you talk about Las Cruces, there's a university there, you talk about wilderness study area, who's studying? Is there a university connection? Are there students out there doing science?
Well, you know, we just are in the process of setting up a chapter of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance on the NMSU campus. So we will be getting students engaged in our campaigns, but the term wilderness study area is a term that was defined by the agencies back in the late 70s and early 80s. So after they inventoried the on-the-ground field work, taking photographs, seeing what wildlife was there, roadless quality characteristics, solitude, the values of wilderness, then they recommended those areas to Congress. And so they're just kind of sitting out there in quasi-limbo, if you will, waiting for Congress to do something. And that's why we're here to, you know, poke the fire a little bit and get those guys to take action.
So there's Doña Ana County. How does it look? Is there opposition?
First of all, we've been working on this campaign for 5 years. And we have generated resolutions of support from city councils of Las Cruces, Mesilla, Hatch, and Sunland Park. We've also received resolutions of support from Doña Ana County and surrounding counties, Sierra County, supporting our wilderness proposal. There is some opposition that came in the form of a handful of ranchers who were basically spreading lies saying that wilderness was going to kick them off the land and that it was going to destroy their livelihood. And down in southern New Mexico, it's a very conservative district down there, so we spent a lot of time organizing and educating the community, saying, actually, that's not the case. Wilderness is going to preserve the land, and if there's ranching existing prior to an area becoming wilderness, ranching will continue. So we've been working that angle for many years, and we've been successful in working with Senator Jeff Bingaman, and now with Congressman Harry Teague, who's the representative from down south, and with Senator Tom Udall to get a bill introduced. Earlier last month, there were some staff people from D.C., from Bingaman's office, who went down to Doniana County one last time to say to the ranchers, okay, you know, we've been working on this for quite some time now. We've got all the ducks in a row. We're going to move forward. You know, here's your last opportunity to be productive and positive in this discussion instead of just complaining and being negative about everything. So my sense is that we may see a bill introduced sometime in the spring or in the early summer. Of course, that all depends upon what happens with the economy and where all that happens, because that's really the dominating factor right now in D.C. is the economics of our country. So we're trying to work with that time frame.
It is odd to think about legislators from Tennessee and Maine and South Dakota and Florida voting on whether New Mexico should have wilderness around Doñana County. But that's how it works.
That's how it works. You know, representative democracy, that's the way this country is formed. And so, you know, it's the same thing could be applied to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska,
right.
You know, where you had Ted Stevens, who's no longer there anymore, the Senator Ted Stevens from Alaska, who was all about drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. But this is a crown jewel of this country. It's a National Wildlife Refuge, which makes it my land, your
right,
land,
right.
Your listeners' land. And so I think that's very important to have my senators voting in favor of protecting that place as opposed to drilling it. So yeah, I don't see a problem with it. But there can be some issues where you have a senator from Oklahoma, Tom Coburn, who does nothing but obstruct any form of legislation that spends any amount of money, and God forbid if it wants to protect any public land, he wants to try and obstruct that. So we always have to deal with
just
him.
Just out of principle.
Just out of principle, right. So
that principle being?
Sell off all public land, get rid of it. It's a nuisance. It's a waste of money. The county should own it, and the American people be damned.
Privatizer.
Right, privatizing, yeah. Okay, so we're talking to the folks from the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, Nathan Newcomer and David Ehrman. There's another one, Chaco Canyon, Chaco Culture National Historical Park Wilderness. That's a lot of words.
It's a mouthful. But what it means essentially is that we want to protect 20,000 acres of Chaco's 26,000 acres as wilderness. Wilderness is the highest level of protection, higher than a national park, higher than a national conservation area, higher than anything. And for people in Santa Fe who have been out to Chaco, and I know a lot of people have, they go, they come back, and they say, it hasn't changed at all. And that's exactly what we want to hear. The civilization in Chaco started in the 600s. And it's tens of thousands of acres. The national park actually includes a really small part of the Chacoan civilization. There are ruins all over northwestern New Mexico. And to give the listeners a frame of reference, Chaco is south of Farmington. It is directly south of some of the major oil and gas drilling in the state. There is a threat to Chaco, to areas immediately around the border of Chaco, of drilling. As a matter of fact, the state leased two tracts of land to drill right on the border of Chaco within sight of the visitor center. And on top of that land, we've been out there many times, on top of that land are pottery shards from 1,000 years ago that look like they're brand new.
Right.
And you can imagine drilling equipment on top of this. So we want to get this 20,000 acres protected as wilderness. The other 6,000 acres we can't protect because it already has roads and it has buildings. So the wilderness has to be as pristine as possible.
So where does that stand? Has that been introduced?
That has not been introduced yet. As with our other bills, it'll probably go through either in the spring, in other words, be introduced in Congress either in the spring or the summer.
Now, All of this, I think, is probably of significant interest to many of our listeners, and they would like to know what they can do, how they can help, how they can find out more information. Ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday, March 21st, from 1 to 5 at the Great Room of the National Park Service Trails Building, which is at 1100 Old Santa Fe Trail here in Santa Fe, you can go, and it's a free event sponsored by the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, where people can go and find out more, write letters to their congresspeople, and basically get engaged and also meet some nice people.
That's right. This is going to be a very casual conference. I mean, conference is sounds very grand, but essentially it's a briefing on what's going on in Washington with these major bills, that these major wilderness areas that affect New Mexico. Steve Capra will be there, our executive director, who has been to Washington a lot during the last couple of months to meet with our congressional delegation. So people are going to get the latest inside information on what's going on with these bills. During this briefing time, in the back of the room, we will have five or six tables set up where people at any time can stand up, go to the back of the room, and handwrite a letter to one of our members of Congress about these important areas. And so it's action and a briefing. So people will come in and they'll leave feeling like they actually did something that was tangible.
And those letters are very important, as we know. I think one thing that happens is that people find out about all of these issues, and there's this feeling of helplessness, or what is the best thing for me to do? You give them the answer.
Sure. I mean, this conference, like David is saying, is designed to empower the public on what is the best way for you to help protect our wildest public lands. We're going to give you the tools at this conference. We're going to have the tables for the letter writing, but we're also going to have a representative from Senator Tom Udall's office, Sarah Cobb. She's going to come and talk to people who come to this event about what it means to come into, say, the local Santa Fe office here and say, I care about wilderness. Do you have to be an expert about the Chaco Canyon campaign or the Sabinoso campaign? No, you don't. Just by going into their office and saying, I support wilderness, I want to see more wilderness protected in the state of New Mexico, it matters to me and my family and my friends, that goes a long way. And Sarah Cobb's going to be able to convey that to everybody and say, hey, this is something that you should be doing, because that's why we're here, right? This is why we have representatives in Congress, to listen to our concerns.
Right, and how do they know how to represent us if we don't show up?
Exactly. So I think this conference is kind of twofold. You know, you've got the briefings that are going to be given on our campaigns, the inside scoop on all the great work we've been doing, and the inside information from Steve Capper back from D.C., and then the action component, like David's saying, where you're going to be able to write on the spot and then learn about other ways that you can get involved with our organization and our wilderness campaigns.
For more information, people can go to the wonderful internet, to nmwild.org, or they can call David at 216-9719. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us here on the Radio Cafe, Nathan Newcomer and David Ehrman of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance.
Thank you, Mary, so much, Mary.
We're going to take a little break right now. Please stay tuned to KSFR.